Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Look, we're all here. Just not in the same place all here, but we're here.
Hey, how's it going? And it's been a while. but I live, guys. I live. I'm here.
You're here.
And I'm here. And I'm so excited to be here. I reckon this is like the first time I've been back for, geez, maybe 7 years. Yeah. It's been probably been about 7 years.
It's been 84 years.
84 years. What is the 84 years thing? You have to tell me what the 84 years thing is.
The Titanic.
The Titanic?
Yeah, the old lady with the Titanic.
Old Rose, yeah.
It's been way too long since I've seen the Titanic. 84 years! You know, they could both fit on that damn door. I will forever and a day say that.
That's the hill you're willing to die on, is it?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, how are we doing? We've got a bit going on tonight. So I think before we launch into some few segments, we'll quickly mention that, yes, we are doing Movember here at Game on Oz. So if you're watching at twitch.tv/GameOnOz, you will see my recently shaven face. And, yes, it is bloody cold.
Gorgeous. Oh, it's beautiful.
No, it's like weird. Mate. Like I can't look at myself in the mirror at the moment. It looks too weird. Nah.
It's just very lucky that we're not doing this in person because I just don't know how I'd manage to keep my hands off you all night. Just don't know.
One day, Pete, one day I'll be that lucky. Yeah.
Also, like, very afraid of the fact that if I did give you a kiss, I'd just slip right off your face.
It's all right. There's a bit of stubble there now, so you might get a bit of traction. It's all good. Archie Horror, thank you so much for that sub. Very much appreciated. And hello to everybody in our chat. Natty, Gamma, Charlie Golf. Oh, so many champions. But our Movember campaign, obviously 1st of November yesterday, kicked off, we're going to go for as long as you guys are going to give us donations, I think. I don't think there's a deadline on that. But we do have some donation rewards. We're hoping to fundraise $1,000. But at $500, we're going to do a Goa team gaming night. So we're going to get a few people from the Goa team, from the writing team, the broadcast team that do our shows, and just play some games. But we got to get to $500 first.
Gaming.
So,
now you have to excuse me because I've obviously been out of the loop for a little bit. We're at $210. Does that mean anything?
Oh, correction.
Yet?
$212.22.
Thank you for that donation, Gamma.
Thanks, Gamma. $212.22. You're beauty.
But yes, it does mean something because, like, going towards these donation rewards that we've got, those $500, the first one. We've also got a reward for every $20 that gets donated. We're going to do five reps of an exercise of our choice. So given that we've already started and we're at $210, that means I think if we split it up, I think it means about 16 reps each.
Right.
So I think we can do that. Can we? I reckon I'm going to get up and
do it right now.
Let's do it now.
I did not prepare for this. I'm wearing jeans. I'm not even wearing anything quite comfy. Right. Did you say 16?
Yep, 16.
Oh.
Hi, Nana 51. Hi, White Monkey. I'm barefoot. I didn't know if you guys knew this, but my reps are sitting up straight.
Oh.
And.
Pete gets the special reps then. I see how it is. Hold on. We're doing 16.
Oh. I was going to do like some push-ups on this table, but I think I'll break it. Okay, hang on. I'll do it like this.
Woo! My pants are falling down.
All right, I'm done. Easy. What, Pete? What are you doing?
Pete's doing crunches, I think, by the look
crunches.
Of it.
One, two, three, four, seven, eight,
nine. Six.
Go on, Pete. Almost there.
I think I'm going to give myself a hernia.
13.
My wife's watching me.
15.
We've raised enough money 15, to do 16 crunches.
17. Hang on, I think that's it. That's it, isn't it?
You're done.
Guys, I think that's it.
That's it. He's just going to do the show from here now.
You should see my
upside down in his chair.
My wife's so proud. She's so proud of me. Now I can't.
Also,
get off this.
Also proud.
I can't get off this.
You look stuck. You look proper stuck.
Okay. Chair stream. Go chair. Woo!
I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Well, while Pete recovers, shall we get into the my lightning recaps of this week? How does
I think
that sound?
Let's do that. Let's get into your lightning recap, Stormy. What's been going on in the world of games?
Okay, so in terms of games releasing this week, we have a little bit to talk about. Games releasing this week today, Doraemon Story of Seasons, Friends of the Great Kingdom is out. Tomorrow, Iron Man VR comes to the Meta Quest 2. And Friday, we have Harvestella. Obviously, there's some really big launches happening next week. But Harvestella is definitely one to look out for me. In terms of what's coming to Game Pass, we have some new news straight from the Xbox website themselves. So available now on Game Pass, we have The Legend of Tyanding, the complete seasons of The Walking Dead and New Frontier, and then Walking Dead Michonne for PC. Coming soon, November 3rd, Ghost Song, November 8th, Football Manager 2023, Return to Monkey Island, which you can see Jim's review on GameOnOz.com. And November 10, Vampire Survivors for PC, and coming soon to Xbox consoles. November 15, Pentiment and Somerville. And leaving soon, we have on November 8th, last year's Football Manager 2022. November 15, we'll be saying goodbye to Art of Rally, Fae Tactics, Next Space Rebel, One Step from Eden, and Supraland. Now, for our Goa review recap, we have Mikey's Star Ocean, the Divine Force review. Jim's Bayonetta 3 review that went up today. Royce's article on the Apple Arcade games for the month. Raven's write-up on what's coming to PlayStation Plus in November thanks to Sony. And DoomQD today tells us all about the newest Hearthstone expansion thanks to Blizzard. And these articles are all available to read now at GameOnOz.com, where you can find all the latest gaming news and all our podcast episodes, the nuts and bolts, and the weekly show.
That was lightning fast.
So lightning fast. You'll have to do it again because I missed it.
Watch the VOD.
So I was going to say, anything coming to Game Pass you guys are looking forward to? I mean, Jim, you have reviewed Return to Monkey Island. Is that something you're going to keep recommending to everyone this month now? It's especially going to be available for everyone to play.
Yeah, I really am. Like, if you're a fan of the point-and-click adventure games, that like Monkey Island was one of the original ones, Secrets of Monkey Island, and Return to Monkey Island is a return to form. It's got great puzzles in it. One thing that I was really amazed with in the game is it's got a really good hint system in it. So it's quite tiered, so that if you want to get a hint but you don't want to know the solution, don't be afraid to hit that hint button, because it'll give you a general hint about what you need to do first. And if you keep going through, eventually it'll tell you the solution. But it's just nice and granular and just points you in the right direction to start with. It's really good. But I'm actually keen for the Walking Dead A New Frontier, because I remember when the season 1 and 2 of the Walking Dead Telltale series came out, I absolutely loved them. But I didn't play the third one. So I think A New Frontier is the third one. So I'd be very keen to get in there and follow Clementine and see what she's up to.
Yeah, I've heard really, really good things about The Walking Dead. So now I've just got more of a reason to get stuck into it. No excuses now.
That's right. Ready to go. What about you, Pete? Anything coming up that you're interested in?
Definitely the complete seasons of The Walking Dead, only because I've never had a chance to actually play them. And all I've ever heard is you must get onto this. So, very, very much excited for that. Talking about Iron Man VR, now I know this isn't Game Pass related, but Iron Man VR is the first title that's made me almost buy a Meta Quest. Like legitimately, I've been such a huge fan of Iron Man for so long, even before like, you know, the original, but Marvel reproduced it or produced it in 2008 and kickstarted, you know, MCU phase one. But it looks really cool. And for a VR game, it's sort of something that's almost gotten me across the line. I'm more looking at the leaving soons with Game Pass. And I would say to anybody who's relatively interested in a bit of football, you're feeling me. Get onto Football Manager 2022 before it does leave, because you've got 6 days and it is a little bit of fun. It's worth having a crack at.
I'll just quickly clarify as well. Arion said that The Walking Dead, The New Frontier, which is for Game Pass, is the fourth and final season. So just to quickly clarify there before anyone jumps going to get straight into it, obviously there's more before that, but the whole Telltale Walking Dead franchise, yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about. So that's definitely got to be on my list for sure.
Is Rick back yet? Is Rick back?
No, so this followed, like, this series that Telltale made followed completely different characters. I think in the first season you met Glenn from The Walking Dead, but that was it. Otherwise, they were just completely new characters.
I love Glenn. Yeah. Glenn's the best character in The Walking Dead, like, without a doubt.
I think it's been long enough. I think we can say he was, considering The Walking Dead's almost over.
I think it has been long enough. I remember walking into the living room, I think, when that episode happened, and I've never seen my mum look so devastated. Like just literally, like, tears, like, bawling, like, just, yeah, absolute mess.
We were done. And I think that's been the best thing, you know, not we should be getting onto this, but anyway, just to sidestep for a second. You guys know how much I love a tangent, but the Walking Dead's biggest weapon in its arsenal has been that they've never been afraid to kill off favorites.
Mm.
Yeah.
Except when it's for stupid reasons, because, like, you know, when Dale got killed off on the farm in the second season, it's because one of the showrunners was leaving and that actor really liked that showrunner, so he wanted to be written off the scene, and there was a bit of to-do about it, so they killed him in, like, one of the stupidest ways possible.
What?
Yeah, that's... anyway, but yes, like I say, tangent. NJ Highways, thank you so much for the sub. Love you. So good. So good.
How did Dale die in The Walking Dead?
I think he was walking backwards somewhere, and just, like, a zombie came out of nowhere, which is another, like, these things are not quiet. How do they sneak up on anybody?
Oh, yeah. Killed by a walker who wandered onto Herschel's farm and gets bitten.
Yeah.
Daryl puts him down with a shot to the head.
Oh, fun times. Fun times. Good old Walking Dead. But yes, the original Walking Dead show is coming to an end. Season 11's its last season, currently screening in the US at the moment. But Fear the Walking Dead's still going on, I think, and that Worlds Beyond. And I think they're still planning.
The movie.
Yeah,
Coming? The movie's coming. The Rick Grimes movie.
Yeah. See what happens there.
Rick Grimes. Yeah. Mm.
Oh. I still just see him as the dude from Love Actually.
Yeah, it's hard to get past that, isn't it?
It's like, I try and get past it, but I look at him and I'm like, aw.
especially when you hear, like, the accent, when you actually hear him, because he's a Brit.
Yeah.
He's not an American. And he's, like, when you hear him do the interviews and stuff like that, it's just so, I just get so confused.
It's like watching, like, for Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans out there, go watch interviews of Stephanie Beatrix, who plays Rosa, because her speaking voice is so goddamn high. Like, it's nothing like Rose's speaking voice.
It's so good. I love it.
Well, it's like, it blew my mind that she was the lead character voice in Encanto.
In Encanto.
Yeah. What's her name?
Mirabelle.
Yeah. And I'm like, we were sitting there watching this movie over and over again with the kids, and I'm like, there were tiny little hints and giveaways where I went, there's something in that voice. So I Googled it and then saw her. I was like, you are joking.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah. But anyway, we're here to talk about games. So let's get back on. Let's get that tangent back onto the road. Let's have a chat about some bloody good games of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband. And I think we're going to start with Pete's choice this week.
We're going to start with my choice. That's very exciting. I'm quite pumped for that. So thank you.
I've just realised I haven't set the sound right. Give me a second. But you can talk
about that's all right. I'll talk about the game. So I have brought this game as one of the many that I saw when I was at PAX a couple of weeks ago. And I'm really excited for this game. It tickles a few bones for me, but in particular, just the art style. I'm just a very, very big fan of the art style of this game, but it is an Australian developer. I just wanted to bring this to people's attention. But basically, as it says on the box, you're on Mars. You're strategically building out these bases. And obviously, as you can see, building out these units as well. And then you get to drive them. So far, the demo is available now, by the way. It's not full game available yet, but the demo is available if you want to go and check it out. And I thoroughly recommend you do. My favorite thing so far has just been driving these things off cliffs. Hang on.
I'm looking at this game and I'm thinking, I don't know what brought this comparison to mind because the games look nothing alike, but all I could think was Death Stranding. Like just walk. Yeah. Yeah. Just like crafting stuff and walking through like vast wastelands with nothing around. And yeah, I don't know. It just, my mind went, I don't know why, but it looks like Death Stranding to me.
Really love the art style.
Art style is gorgeous. It does remind me of another game, which, and I've just got to really quickly bring it up, guys, because I haven't played it for a little while, but it is on Game Pass at the moment. And it was one that I was really sinking my teeth into for a little while there. So I'm just going to bring it up on... What? Sign in? Oh, this is poor. I'm going to have to find it. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment while I find this game, because it is something where I'm saying to people, go and get this on Game Pass as well, because you'll really enjoy it.
Well, while we wait for Pete, I was going to say in the chat, everyone's having a talk about what they're playing this week. So WhiteMonkey88AU says Yakuza 5. Gamma's playing Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer. Natty's playing Mini Motorways. Artful Escape by Gamey Game Face. What else? Ariond is playing Spider-Man Remastered on PC and a cool little indie game called Realmfall. And Horror has been playing Outriders on PS5, and Charlie's been playing Overwatch.
I think that Realmfall game is Arion's game, the one he's been developing.
Oh, cheeky! Yeah.
Arion, are you developing a game, mate? You have to tell me about that.
Yeah, he's been developing it for a while. Like I know. Hang on, we moved on to something else on the
cheeky self promo. No,
but,
it's fine.
But yeah, like Arion's one of our long term community members, and he's been developing it for a while. And I know I'm pretty sure he announced the name in our Discord a while back. He's hot on the dev trail there. So I can't wait to see a demo on that. But while we're doing bloody good game of the week, we'll move on to my game. So I literally only finished this game this morning and got the review up this afternoon for Bayonetta 3. And I have to be careful what I say about Bayonetta 3, because one, the story can be a bit spoilery about what's going on. So basically the story that you see in the trailers is somebody's trying to destroy all the multiverses and make their own big alphaverse. And so somebody comes into Bayonetta's universe and gets her to come and get the latest MacGuffin that they need to get to power this machine to stop it from happening. But one thing for me is that it's got that good Bayonetta combat that I'm here for. And if you're watching on twitch.tv/GameOnOz, you'll be able to see, like, you've still got the torture attacks that they do. You've got the summoning of big demons that you can do in battle to help out. But it also does, like, a lot of these other little weird things. And if you took any of them in isolation, you'd go, what the hell is this game about? But putting it all together just makes it crazy fun. It is just so much fun to play, to go through all the different levels, to do all the different, like, there's little mini game type stuff, lots of collectibles to find, lots of stuff to upgrade. So there's a lot of replayability factor in there, that you'll be able to go back and just complete the levels again and again and again. The only downside I sort of have with it is I'm not a fan of this new character that they've introduced. Because, like, you sit there, you've got, there's two characters in Bayonetta that have come back, if you played it before. There's Bayonetta herself and another of the Umbran witches called Jean. And she's, like, they're like, there's these suave, sophisticated, really smooth-talking ladies. And then there's Viola, who looks punk rock. And there's nothing wrong with punk rock. I'm a rock guy myself. But, yeah, a punk rock in your classic sort of classical lady game just doesn't sit right with me. But other than that, the game itself, like, it like I said, it gets weird. There's like a big kaiju battle that eventually amounts to like a rock, paper, scissors match. And there was a boss fight that suddenly became a rhythm game. But, like, if you know these sorts of games, that's just these games and they're just fun. It's like Yakuza or Saints Row, where all of a sudden you're doing something completely unrelated to the main side of the story, but it's just fun. And that's all you need from a game.
How do you feel like it compared to the other two? So I've actually never played Bayonetta, but one of my friends, as a gift, got me the first one. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into it. Do you think for people who haven't played the previous Bayonettas, can they go into this one and still appreciate it the same way? Because you're talking about multiverses kind of happening in this new game. Would you recommend going back to the older ones? Or
I would. And myself, I've only played the first one. I haven't played the second one. And I was a little disappointed because there's a group. So some of the backstory of Bayonetta is there's a group called the Umbra Witches, which Bayonetta is a part of, and then there's the Lumen Sages as well. And in the first game, definitely, the Lumen Sages were the bad guys, which is kind of like devils and angels type thing. So the Sages aren't in this game, really. There's some bonus rooms where you can go into and face some of those old angelic-type enemies. But they're not really in it. So there's this new bad guy called the Singularity who's collapsing the multiverses type thing. But in terms of do you have to go back and play the other games? I don't think you'd need to. I think it's separate enough that that you don't need to, but you'll definitely get more out of it if you have played those other games.
Mm. Yeah. I have something to raise here about you guys talking about, you know, whether or not you have to play the other games. Do you reckon that if you're a games company these days and you're making sequels or you're making franchises, that you should be making games always now for the goal of people not having to have played the other games?
Yes. In terms of story, yes. I was just going to say,
I agree with that, right? And I think it's because we have entirely too many games to play these days. And so to expect people to go back and play back catalogs, I think is a bit tough.
Yeah, I think it's hard, you know. Like, when I think about some of my favorite gaming franchises, I, you know, when a sequel gets announced, I go, oh my God, yes, I must play it because I've played all the other ones. The part of me wishes that same kind of energy that goes into these sequels could go into some new material as well, you know, just for something fresh and something new, which I don't know. It's just, I know I'm kind of playing both sides here because I think it's always good for a sequel to a game to still be inviting for newcomers who haven't played the previous ones. But I don't know. At the same time, I know that if I hadn't played some older titles of, say, the Resident Evil games, for example, I wouldn't have been able to appreciate maybe some of the lore and stuff, or the Easter eggs that come up. Not that it's always integral to the main story, but I guess it's just you've got time for it in the end, isn't it?
I very much appreciate games that put in a recap. And that was one of the things I appreciated with Return to Monkey Island, was that because there's two or three games, I think, that precede Return to Monkey Island. And I haven't played them since the 90s, so it's been a long time. And having a little bit of a story recap that you can go through just to remind yourself of the major points in that game is great. But like I said, like there's some returning characters of sort of blink and you miss it thing in Bayonetta 3. So I don't, but if you don't know them, you don't know them. They're just there and then they're not there. So it's not essential to the game to know what was going on in the last couple of games. From what I've heard about Bayonetta 2, though, if you're going to play that, that relies on some plot points from the first Bayonetta. One. So I think if you're going to play 2, you should play 1 first. But that's Bayonetta 3 is my bloody good game of the week. Just good old-fashioned fun. And I still love the witch time as well. So, like, if you do a perfect dodge, you suddenly speed up and can get in a whole heap of attacks first. So, yes, just really good fun and can highly recommend it.
I just quickly want to shout out Natty's comment where she says it is really difficult to have rich lore and have those big payoffs. Because I really feel that. And I think, like, part of great storytelling is being able to have incredibly rich and big payoffs. And to be able to do that, you kind of have to have running themes through games, especially if they're sequels and franchises. Oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah, that's one of the demons that you can have. A spider demon is really cool.
That's one thing about this game I will just mention. I love the character designs in this. They are absolute badass women, and I love, like, even the cover of Bayonetta. Like, if that doesn't say powerful, I don't know what does. And I have big crushes on all of them. They just look fantastic. And some of these abilities I'm seeing in the trailer now just look wicked.
Well, this is actually early gameplay footage. So this is
really?
So this is a lot of this that you're seeing. A few bits of it are cutscenes, but yeah, the bits that you're seeing at the moment are part of the game. So that's stuff actually do in game.
Oh.
And it's stuff like that. There's this spider demon that you've got will actually run up walls and stuff like that as well. So it's really freaking cool. Can highly recommend it. And there's just such epic set pieces in it as well. But anyway, that's my bloody good game of the week. What have we got for you today there, Stormy?
I feel like it might be a bit of a predictable one if you guys have been keeping up to date with what's been coming out recently. But the Resident Evil Village DLC, particularly Shadows of Rose, is definitely my bloody good game of the week. I have really been looking forward to this because I'm going to try and avoid going into spoiler territory for those who haven't played Village yet, even though it's been out for a while, but I will forewarn you just in case. So this is set 16 years after the events of Resident Evil Village. And this is Ethan's daughter, Rose. And basically, in this DLC, she wants to get rid of her powers. I'm not going to tell you how she's got them, just in case. But she wants to get rid of these powers that she has because it's that kind of typical, you know, everyone at school's bullying me, I'm not normal, like those kind of things going on. And she basically, again, without kind of saying how, she ends up back at the village where she's told basically there's this crystal that will remove her powers. The game, roughly when I played it, went for about 4 hours. I played it all on stream. And it was, I have a divide because, again, this is going to be really tricky to talk about without spoiling anything, because the story itself, I feel like, is really great. The first half, because you can kind of definitively split this DLC into two sections. The first section was a little bit slow, maybe, not as horror as maybe people would probably want or expect. It probably feels a bit more like Resident Evil 4 in terms of like combat, game mechanics and content, whereas the second half of the game, which really made me pee my pants, For those who did tune in, and I'll keep that secret because that's really good. Definitely brought in the horror, especially for those who know of the Beneviento house that you visit in the original game. That kind of on the edge of your seat, palms sweaty, horror that you kind of love and expect from something like Resident Evil really shines there. But also the story itself in, I guess, the third act of the DLC is really, really fantastic. I might be a bit of biased because I do really love the characters that appeared in the original game, or in the base game, I should say, of Village. But I think this is done really, really well. I think the DLC, it was only $30, but it also came with... it came with the third-person perspective for the entirety of the base game of Village, and also a new Mercenaries mode as well. But I think this mode was really well done, gives you a bit more insight into Rose as a character and also the characters around her and in the Village, and has some really great connections to Seven. Again, without giving anything away, it just, I think, you know, we were just talking about, do you need to play previous games to be able to enjoy it? I think what Village does really well, the base game, I mean, is that it does fill you in with the events of Seven without you having to play it. But the actual tie-ins that the DLC has with the previous titles, so Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, is really, really well done. And I think unless you had played that previous title, probably couldn't appreciate it as much. But as a big fan, really, really enjoyed it.
What do you mean it came with the third-person perspective?
So the Resident Evil Village base game all was in first-person perspective. And with that as well, a really big thing that's become a little bit of a joke within the Resident Evil community is that you play the character of Ethan, which is Rose's dad, and you never see his face. You never see what he looks like. And for me, kind of reading into that, like, Ethan could be anyone. He's just your average, everyday dude. And what they did with the Resident Evil Village, like the extra content, it's part of the DLC, you could play the entirety of the base game in third person. But what they've done is when you go and rotate the camera so you can try and see his face, he always moves, which is, which is quite funny. Yeah, even in the DLC, it's good. Because the DLC, having a bit of taste playing, you can only play as Rose in third perspective in this extra content. Which is really cool. I think I would love to play the base game of Village in third person again. I don't think it will have quite the same effect in some areas with some bosses as it did in first person. But I know, obviously, first and third person isn't for everyone. I like the fact that you kind of get the best of both worlds now with the new content. It just gives a little bit of breath of fresh air.
Mm. I like third person because you can peek around the corners.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because
I'm only saying that because I am an absolute wimp
when it comes
to these games.
The reason
I do a lot of peeking around corners because I'm like, oh my god, what's around there? What's around the corner? Don't scare me.
The reason I responded so weirdly to that is there's a lot of deliberate peeking around corners and some part of the DLC, which I think should be more of a surprise because the DLC was in a week out yet. Why Monkey, thank you for the donation in November. Thank you so much.
That's put us over $20. I'm just going to do another 5 star jumps.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, is that sit-ups?
No,
that's
okay. Just me. It's all good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Taking him for the team. Let's go.
But if anyone is thinking about picking up the DLC and you've played Village, I definitely recommend it. I think it's really, really fun. Obviously, those who played Resident Evil 2 and 3 Remake and enjoyed it in third person, I think you'll really like third person for Village as well. But this is definitely my bloody good game of the week, and I can't wait to edit through some of that footage because I couldn't remember the last time I've been so scared playing a game.
Lots of jump scares? Lots of screams?
No, there was a few yells. There was a few yells and a few swears and me hiding behind the controller. But other than that, it was just really well done.
Nice. Love it. Love the bloody good games of the week. Thanks to Aussie Broadband there for sorting us out with that.
Can I just really quickly, so just going back to when I was talking about Mars First Logistics and that art style. So the game that I was referencing, which is currently on Game Pass, which I recommend people go and have a look, is a game called Sable.
Oh, yes, I've heard of Sable.
Yeah. I won't like bunker us down with too much, but it's 9 out of 10 on Steam. GOG's giving it 4 out of 5. I highly recommend it. I think it's a really great game. It's a fantastic story. And again, just my favorite art style. So yeah.
Nice. Love it. Love our good indie games. Like I know it's like almost a month since it happened, but I still can't get over all the wonderful indie games we saw at PAX there. There's just so many good ones. And I know here at Goa, we're a big fan of indie games. And Pete, I know you've been working hard in the background getting Three Little Pixels ready. So how's that coming along for you?
It's coming along really well. So for people who are on this stream watching this right now who don't know what Three Little Pixels is, basically it's a, just to give you the very basic thing that I'm working on at the moment. So it's a brand new online games arcade that's coming to Australia. And it's the reason why I'm doing it is because when we were building Game in Australia, I did a independent developer series called Indie or Die, which is a podcast that's still out there, which you can go and listen to, and got to know a lot of Australian independent developers and overseas indies and New Zealand and such, and started to learn about the space and was very much, oh my goodness, like it's really hard to be an indie developer, and have been thinking a long time about how we could solve some of those issues for the space. I think indie developers are just so incredibly important to the games ecosystem. And so this is a brand new online games arcade. It's a cloud gaming arcade. It's coming very, very soon. In fact, version 0.1 is currently being built. I actually got some images of what the platform is starting to look like back from my developers last week. Very, very exciting. There'll be a version of it ready to play probably in the next 6 weeks or so. And if you go to Twitter and you either find me or you find at 3lil pixels, you'll see the pinned post, and it'll actually have the Discord, which we launched yesterday. And my daughter's here.
And if you're watching on twitch.tv/gameonoz, you'll see that Gamma's quite helpfully put the link to the Discord in there. And also you'll see the website where you can go register and secure your handle, your gamer tag, because that's very important. Like, I don't know what I'd do if somebody got Straight Jacket Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very important that you go and do that. My goal is to get to 500 pre-registered users ready for the beta inside the next month. We're on our way. We've got 150 there so far. And the other thing that's quite unique to this platform is the way that we're going to be getting people to pay for games is that you're actually going to pay for the video game, pay the video game off as you play it. So it's a completely new, unique way of paying for a video game. It's all about sort of reducing waste for users and making sure that their dollar goes a long way, but also increasing discovery for Australian independent developers who have it pretty bloody tough because the market's so saturated. So yeah, please go and register. Please tell your friends. Please put it all over Twitter. Put it all over everywhere because it is currently being built, and the more people we have there for pre-registrations, the better it's going to be. The more we can test it, the more we can build it better. And I'm really excited for the future for Three Little Pixels. And for Gammon Australia, of course.
It's going to be so exciting. I cannot wait to see Three Little Pixels out in the wild there. But do get on it. Go register. Go join the Discord. Jump in there. And it's going to be brilliant. I can't wait to see it. Like, we've been hearing a lot of it behind the scenes, and it's such an exciting thing. And servicing Australian indie devs, like just talking with so many of the devs at PAX, and even talk when I spoke with Graham Struthers, who's one of the co-founders of Devolver Digital, and just hearing about all that, the stuff that they're doing, and how hard it is for devs to get their games out there. I'm just really looking forward to seeing how we can promote that.
Absolutely. Yep. 100%.
I'm so keen to hear more. And then already this Discord that you have going for Three Little Pixels, it's growing so quickly, and it's so nice to see some new and familiar faces in there get all excited for it. So yeah, super keen.
How good's the community that's popped in the last 24 hours?
Oh, everyone's been so lovely.
Yeah, so lovely, great. Talking to each other. There's some fresh faces in there as well. But obviously, you know, one of the cool things about the Australian games community is that we all sort of know each other in some way, from having seen each other on Twitter and various Twitch streams and stuff like that. So it's really nice to all be in Discord together and hanging out. It's great.
Yeah.
So good. All right, so let's move along to a couple of little discussion points. I actually thought of one more that I didn't warn you guys about. So we'll do that second if we've got time. But there was one tweet that I came across that I was particularly interested in, and it was about basically CD or DVD-based media. And how it's basically obsolete. Like the tweet says, discs are obsolete. We can't even run games directly from a disc anymore. Full install plus disc required. We need faster physical software media for these two brands. And by brands, he means Microsoft and Sony. Switch cards are great. I wonder if that kind of tech would work just as well with these consoles, higher spec. So I'm curious to see your guys' thoughts about it. Like, one, if we should move away from the light-based media, like your CDs and your DVDs and your Blu-rays, to maybe more solid-state media, like the Switch carts or USB drives or stuff like that. Yeah, what are you guys thinking about that?
Pete, you go first. Sorry, you pointed at me too. No, after you.
Okay, I think, personally, I think CDs are dead. I think, why do we need them for? The only thing that I lament about CDs like dying is that I'm still, and I guess this comes with being, you know, 36 and having cut my teeth on things like the Nintendo Entertainment System and the PlayStation 1 and N64 and stuff. I will be really sad if there ever comes a day where we can't walk into a store and buy a physical copy of a game.
Mm.
So for me, that's where I see the issue with having to let go of CDs. But you know, with the advent of things like Game Pass and PlayStation Now, with what Three Little Pixels is going to be doing, like I run out of storage really quickly. And the reality is we have lots and lots of games, and we have so much choice, and we have really big games, and we have really big updates, and so on and so forth. So I think CDs are kind of dust, because it's a lot easier just to be sitting at home and go, all right, I'll have that digital copy of the game. It immediately starts downloading, for one. Mm. Or if your internet connection is good enough and the infrastructure around us is, you know, gradually getting better, then you can just start playing and streaming from the cloud. You know, I mean, I probably about 70% of the time now I'm streaming a game. I'm not actually downloading it. If my connection can handle it. I was playing Scorn last week, and I was streaming it, and it was a really rough game to be playing because it is so dark as a game in general. And so the darkness coupled with cloud streaming on the infrastructure that we still have, and it was sort of peak times. So it was getting a little bit, not necessarily pixelated, but just fuzzy, I think is the best word to be able to describe it. And so because it was fuzzy and it's such a dark game, it just dropped the experience of the whole thing. A little bit, not enough to make me stop, but a little bit. But I think, yeah, just in terms of convenience, I think we're sort of slowly moving away from CDs.
Oh, no, it's a really tricky one, because like as much as I love my DVDs and movies, the only kind of CDs I buy now are for my games. You know, I love having a physical collection of my favorite games. And I've been caught out a good once or twice now by being, for me, I saw it as being quite lazy and being like, you know what, all my friends are playing this game, I'm just going to digitally download it because I can't be bothered going to go find it. And then, you know, I get stuck into a corner where we play it 1, 2, 3 times and then it kind of dies off and I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to do now? Because, like, it can be quite a tricky situation in some instances to, you know, get a refund or whatever through an online purchase. I've been able to do it through Steam once for a game I just didn't get into, like a single player game, which is great. But I don't know, and I don't know if I'm willing to go try and figure out what that kind of process is going to be like or how lenient it is, I should say, for things like Xbox and PlayStation as well. I think part of it as well, and this is in a very general sense, not everyone has great internet either. And I, as much as I'm about to say it's great to have physical copies of games because that helps those people who might not have the luxury of being able to download huge games onto their console in a reasonable amount of time. We look at the new Call of Duty, for example, where most of the game, despite having a disc, it took, you know, it was still like a good 130 gig, not even including the day one patch download. Like, it was an exorbitant amount of download you still had to do, regardless if you had the disc or not. So in those instances, you know, why would you even bother getting a disc if not for the, I guess, the convenience of going into a brick and mortar store that, you know, like EB Games, for example, where you can return it if you don't like it. But, like, it's, I don't know, it's a really tricky situation to be in. Like the like what Pete was saying, the convenience of being able to download digitally is fantastic. Not everyone, I guess, looking at the other side, not everyone has fantastic internet, especially in Australia as well. There are some really bad spots where downloads can take forever or it's just not even doable. So, you know, does that mean if we start heading towards a purely digital, you know, kind of construct, do those people then inevitably just kind of have to miss out? Like, it's like, I don't know. It's a bit of a, it's a tricky one because as a physical collector, whether I do have to download the rest of the 95% of the game online or not, I still like to have a physical copy. Like Cult of the Lamb, for example, I was like lucky enough to have a digital code for Steam. But seeing that they're doing a physical copy and because I wanted to support the team behind the game and everything in there too, I was like, you know what, I am actually going to buy a physical copy because it's something I'd proudly display and, you know, it's just that extra support, you know. There's, I don't know, I still see the beauty in physical stuff, but I understand the convenience of having digital.
See, I kind of look at it a different way because I do agree that there's convenience in downloading, but I'm still a big physical copy fan. Like when I look over at my retro gaming shelf and I've still got a NES that works and the games that still work. And I'm wondering that if in 20, oh, it's probably a bit longer, that probably more like 30 years time since the NES came out. What was it, 87? Jeez, that's 35 years.
Yeah, thereabout.
And I wonder if in 35 years, these games that we've got, if, God forbid, Steam goes away or Epic Store goes away, if you'll still be able to get copies of those games. And I know for indie devs in particular, it's, digital has been a godsend because you don't have to worry about distribution channels and extra costs that you've got for transporting your games and stuff like that. But I'm still a big fan of physical media, and you talk about CDs. Like if there's a band that I like, I'll still go out and buy a CD. I've got a wall full of CDs because I like that physical ownership of the goods. Because, and without getting too much into it, digital rights management is still a mess. And the fact that you own the, like if you own the game on Steam, you've bought it once, but like I said, if Steam disappears, you can't go, well, I own the game, can I download it from Epic? You know, no, because it's a different store, so you'll have to buy it there again. So a lot in the, it's bits and pieces like that. Whereas if the if my NES stops working, like you basically have to physically destroy the hardware to not play the game. But another point of view that I was looking at on this, because it's not so much the argument of physical versus digital, it's the argument of optical-based media versus solid-state media. And it's an interesting thing, because I was just, while we were talking about that, I was just looking up some like transfer speeds of various media. So a Blu-ray disc transfers data at, about 4.5 megabytes a second. For USB, USB 3.1, which is, I think they're up to 3.2 now, but the USB 1 transmits at 10 gigabits per second. So it's a lot bigger transfer speed. So it means that if there is stuff on the disc, you can get onto the console quicker, even if you have to download the patches. And even in terms of storage, the Blu-ray storage, I think I saw a single layer Blu-ray disc has 25 gig on it. And I know like a lot of things are using 4K DVDs now rather than Blu-ray, but even, you know, 25 gig on a Blu-ray disc isn't much, where the Switch cards can be up to 32 gig on a Switch card. So it's...
You know, it'd be really cool, like, just on that. I just purely on the discussion between, the cards versus the discs, I'd much rather see everything on cards. Yeah. Like, I like the idea of, there's the obvious benefit of you can fit much more on there. And there's the other thing, which, of course, is they're a lot more hard-wearing. And, you know, I mean, when I've got kids running around grabbing CDs and throwing them around and stuff, like, it's a pain in the ass. But the other thing is, like, because cards are so small, instead of having a library of, like, physical copies where the, you know, the disc case has to be like this by this, you know, quite large, obviously, to fit the disc. Like, imagine if you had, like, just rows and rows and rows of tiny boxes you had the...
Well, the cats will take them. But I like the idea.
Like, I've got a cabinet over to my left hand side, and I can fit, I can't fit all my PS4 and, I mean, first world problems, but I can't fit all my PS4 and my Nintendo Switch games in it. But if the cases were like, you know, built to only to be the size of housing those Switch cartridges, I'd be able to fit so many in there. You know what I mean? But it's just a cosmetic thing. It's just a odd thing.
There's also benefits to the consoles themselves, though, because anything that have moving parts is a massive point of failure in anything. So if you took away a spinning optical drive inside your console and just had a card slot, all of a sudden it's just reading straight off the card. There's no moving parts. It means that you're probably going to have less failure rates. They're not as, like, card readers aren't as big as what disk drives are, so you're saving space in the console itself as well. I'm not sure about the heat thing, but my gut kind of says that it would generate less heat, so it probably means not quite as much on having to cool the consoles as well. So, like, yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think ditch optical media and let's go for carts again.
Let's do it.
If it, I mean, I wouldn't mind cards actually. If it still meant that I could still get a physical copy, then I'd be all for it.
And
I personally don't think I'm ready to go fully digital.
I'm definitely not. Yeah.
big step in life, you guys. But I think
it's a lot.
There must be something to it, considering that, you know, Nintendo had to throw out the stumps with discs. They had the mini discs for the GameCube.
That's one thing, I guess. When I think about it, when I think about how I store my games, the Switch ones are so nice and slim and small and stuff like that too. Like, when you were talking about, like, the ideal game case, Pete, were you thinking, like, smaller than, like, the 3DS kind of?
Oh, like, much smaller. Much smaller. Like,
of like the ones you would carry like a bunch of game cases in, like the little small. Are you thinking of
I'm talking like a matchbox.
Oh.
Yeah, well, like imagine that. Imagine the cartridges came in matchboxes. Like you literally just slide with your finger, like you do a matchbox. You slide it up, there's the little thing, you pop it out, you use it, and then when you finish back in, slide it back down. And then you just stack them.
Yeah.
I think it'd be sick.
Maybe you're on to the next big thing now.
Probably. Look, I'm currently working on the next big thing.
This is the next big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Next big thing after the next big thing, for sure.
So just Stormy, because you were talking about how the cats might eat the cards. Have you ever, like, just tasted a Switch cartridge?
No, okay, all right. I know that they're supposed to taste really gross. No, I cannot say that I've willingly gone and licked one of my Switch cartridges. But I feel like a friend of mine has told me they had it. Apparently, it's gross. It's not even I'm worried about them eating it. It's just at the moment the problem I'm having. So for those who don't know, like, we just adopted a pair of bonded kittens, like bonded pair a few weeks ago, and they're only 7 months old. But like, things are getting bapped around off the couch, off my gaming desk and everything, and they're just going, and then they'll just go missing. So I can't imagine, let alone kids. Like, I don't know how, like, pet owners are going to be able to facilitate the little small things.
I was just laughing there because as soon as I'm talking about licking Switch cartridges, Twitch chat has just kicked off with lick Bayonetta 3 right now. There you go. Unfortunately, it's digital, so I can't. Sorry, guys.
Why does it taste differently to the others?
The Switch cartridges, like, they taste awful. They just want me to lick Bayonetta, and it's suddenly gone downhill very quickly. But no, I can't, because I got a digital copy to review. So sorry, guys, can't do that. But yeah, that'd be an interesting one. And I think we got a little bit of time still left, and I just want to get quick thoughts on this, because when I saw this news story, I was very skeptical of it, but you would have seen in the last few days, EA has made a deal with Marvel to release 3 Marvel games. Now, one of them, I believe, is actually going to be the Iron Man VR game that Motive have been working on with EA, I think.
No, I think it's a separate thing. I'm sure it's a separate third. Was it third or first person? Because I've read this article as well. I read it as like a first person. Oh, no, sorry, single player, third person thing. But I know 100%. I'm pretty sure it's separate to the VR game.
Yeah, I think it definitely is, because they're saying Iron Man was still in early development. So yeah, definitely not the VR game that's coming out this week. But
they're bringing it out on every platform.
Yeah, well, but my mind went to, because Marvel being owned by Disney, all I could think of was going back to when Disney bought Star Wars and they signed that 10-year deal with EA to make Star Wars video games, and how they released a handful of games and only a couple of them were any good. And my immediate thought was, why are you giving this to EA after you've just had that track record with them of doing crap with Star Wars? Why would you go ahead and give them Marvel titles? And then I sort of calmed down a bit. No, I like Fallen Order. They had the license for 10 years. They released 2 Battlefronts, Fallen Order, and a handful of mobile games. Yeah, that. And I'm still waiting on seeing where Star Wars Hunters is as well. That's gone very quiet. I don't know where that is, but after I sort of went, EA, they're going to screw this up something bad. But then I thought, well, at least it's only 3 games and it's not an exclusive contract to do it. And yeah, I don't know. I'm still wary of anything EA gets involved in.
This is a Marvel fan of me coming out, but I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, especially after having a bit of a crummy response to Marvel's Avengers, but then having a... Well, actually, no, hold on. This is a good segue, actually, because the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy game, the guy who led that, I believe, is running the Iron Man EA game. I swear to God, I read that. And if that's true, then my confidence is so much higher in this upcoming Iron Man game. Then I'm going to look that up right now before anyone quotes me on that. But
too late. I've already put it on social media.
No, I'm getting canceled. I think it's, hold on. Let me have a look. I'm on the official EA website. Where is it?
While you're checking that out, I'm just going to drop EA FIFA Marvel crossover.
No, I found it. I found it. Okay. So it's a all new single player third person. Tick, tick. I got it right. I'm very proud of myself. Action adventure Iron Man game, which is being led by the guy who worked on Guardians of the Galaxy. So like the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. So if that's the case, my confidence is
I think that. Yeah, I like that too, because I think that they actually did a really good job of Star-Lord's flying mechanic in the Guardians of the Galaxy game. So, I think one of the things that they've often found it very hard to nail down with a lot of games when it comes to people flying around, like Dragon Ball Z games and, you know, previous Marvel games where they've had, like, Thor and Iron Man that can fly and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I actually think they did a really good job of the mechanic for Guardians of the Galaxy and Star-Lord, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. But, I just wanted to quickly tack that one on the end there, because being a Star Wars fan and just the echoes of that, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. But I think that's about all the time we got for tonight. Thanks, Pete and Stormy, for coming along, having a chat, talking about games, talking about Three Little Pixels, where you should go and register right now. Thank you, Aussie Broadband, for the Bloody Good Game of the Week segment. And as well, please, if you've got any spare cash lying around, go and just drop us a couple of donations. You can make us do exercises. You can get us towards those fundraising goals that we got there. It'd be great. Cannot wait to see it all. Pete, that's a very large night that you've got there.
It's a bookend.
I feel like I'm being threatened. Just staring me down.
There you go. For reference, that's how big it actually is. Next to my head.
But yes, thanks everybody for dropping in, and we'll catch everyone next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.